Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth. It's great to be here with you on A Quiet Life. This is episode 56 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 4th of March, and I don't know how it is where you are and when you're listening, but it's the morning of the 4th of March today, and where I am, it's absolutely beautiful. It's a glorious day. The sun is shining, there is not a cloud in the sky, and when I went for my walk this morning, the birds were going mad. There were just so many different bird songs, so many birds singing, and I loved it. And I just felt so happy. And, you know, sometimes we do. And I am giving thanks to God for feeling happy today. I do. I just feel really, really joyous. And it's just such a beautiful day. So I don't know what the rest of the day is going to hold. Well, I do know it's going to hold a haircut, and I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know what's going to come, and I'm just living in the moment and just being grateful to the Lord for the joyful day that He's giving me today. So I hope that you also have moments of joy this day, wherever you are and whenever you're listening, or this week, and that you're blessed by the Lord, that you can be grateful for the joyful moments that He gives you. This week in my life, well, we went to an ordination on the weekend. So I go to an Anglican church, usually. Sometimes I go to 2 Anglican churches, actually. Anyway, 2 of my friends committed their whole lives to working for God as deacons on Saturday. So we had, in our diocese, we had 3 people ordained priest, but 3 people ordained deacon. And in the Anglican church, a deacon is sort of on the way to being a priest, has levels of authority and, I don't know really. But I do know that it's just a good way to dedicate your life to the Lord, to say, this is what I want to do with my life, is, you know, work for Christ in this way. So one of my friends who was ordained, Mark, works as a youth minister in our church, and my other friend Alan, he works at the university as with AFES, reaching out to university students and telling them the gospel. So I'm thrilled for them. It was just, it's such an honouring of them to say, we're so glad that this is what you're doing with your life. And it was a really special morning. But remember that we are all priests. So according to 1 Peter 2 and Revelation 1, all of us are priests in the kingdom of God, and all of us have the job to live our lives wherever we are for God's glory, and to lead people to Him and to reflect Him to people. And so part of the reason why I do this podcast is to hopefully help you, help each of us to work out what our priesthood is, serving God wherever we are and whatever job we're doing. And yeah, so anyway, it was a very special morning. And then I spent the rest of the day in a really old rattly truck driving up to Launceston to pick up a car part with my husband, with Moz. So it was nice to spend the day with Moz. We had a good time. We didn't talk much because the truck was too loud, but we listened to audiobooks. It was fun. This weekend, my mum is coming to stay with us, and also my daughter is coming to stay with us. So the Amos Family Hotel will be full. All of the rooms are booked. You can't come and stay this weekend, just to let you know. And next week, I'll probably be able to tell you all about that, what we did on the weekend. But I just feel like at the moment, maybe it's only today in this joyful, happy moment that I'm in, but that I've sort of put things in order. My really, really broad timetable for the week seems to be working, and I'm happy with it. And that's nice. So I'm taking the time today to just enjoy that feeling. Today's podcast is chapter 3 of my year of saying no, and we talk about what are you saying yes to, because it's important to know what you do want your life to look like so that you can decide what fits in it and what doesn't. I know I said last week that we'd talk about that horrible word should. That's not going to fit in this week. Turns out I had more words than I thought I had to say. So we will talk about should next time in a fortnight's time. But today, yeah, it's what are you saying yes to? What's your dream life? What do you want your life to be? And I hope that you enjoy it and that you find it helpful. And I'll chat to you at the end. February is a long month of physical, mental, and emotional tiredness. My head is all over the place. I need a long walk to calm myself, but I don't have time for a long walk. I feel behind at work and behind with my writing. I berate myself for not trying harder. I ask Moz if he regrets marrying me. He doesn't. I am panicking about the teaching I need to do in the new university year, and the lack of time I have had to prepare, and the slightest extra stress makes me want to kill everyone. I even managed to break crockery while washing up. Everything is a big deal. Then I take a day off and spend it alone recovering, and the difference is immense. I realise I need some time each week for rest and rejuvenation, time for headspace, time to write. But I also need time to do household tasks, time to meet with people, time to go to doctors and other appointments. I only have one day a week that I am not at work. How much time off do I need? And how much should I give to others or spend on appointments or spend on the writing? I like the juggle of work and home, within reason, but as summer school ends and semester one approaches, I am completely exhausted. Chapter 3, Your Dream Life. Life is full of possibilities. If you read any self-help book, any blog on entrepreneurship, the back of any cornflakes packet, you will see that you have to trim down those possibilities. You cannot do everything. You cannot have it all, at least not all at once. And it's hard work to figure out what to say yes to, at least it was for me. I tend to think that other people's ideas are better than mine, that they've thought it through more, that they know what's going on more than I do. So when someone asks me to do something, I tend to say yes. But doing what everyone else tells you to do is exhausting. You just cannot fit it all in. At some point, some decisions have to be made. And as you are the only one living your specific life with your specific burdens and challenges and your specific energy levels, you are the one who needs to make the decisions about what your life holds. You know the analogy with the jar and the rocks, pebbles, sand and water? I've always had trouble with that analogy. Putting sharp, angry rocks in a glass jar? What happens if you push too hard and the jar breaks? It took me a while to get past that, but I saw a video the other day with some ping pong balls instead of the rocks, and beads instead of the pebbles, and then sand, and then beer, and that helped. So just in case you are one of the three people in the Western world who have not heard this analogy, this is how it works. The jar is your life. The ping pong balls are the big things in your life. You need to put the ping pong balls in first. Family, friends, healthcare, time with God. The beads are the slightly smaller but still important things. Your job, house, car, looking after those. The sand is everything else, the small stuff. Surfing Facebook, watching TV, that sort of stuff. The beer is just to remind you that even if your life is full, you can still have a beer with friends. I'm not so sure about that last part. I've definitely had times where life was so full that a beer with friends would have pushed me over the edge. But maybe that's just me. It took me a while to understand something about this whole example, and I may be the only one who has trouble with this. But the thing is not to just state the important things are ping pong balls, but to schedule time to allow these ping pong ball things to happen. Not just say to yourself, family is one of my top priorities, but to actually map out in your calendar that four nights a week you are not doing anything other than spending time with your family, that Saturday afternoon is for a family car trip, and that Sunday all the family will be going to church and eating lunch together afterwards. Schedule time for the important things first, then put in time for the less important things, and let the sand take care of itself. Okay, so this is a helpful place to start, but for me I still had difficulty with it. What are my ping pong balls? What exactly are the important things? I started on this saying no journey because of two things. I was sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I had decided I wanted to make time to write. I needed to clear my schedule so that I could exercise and make and eat healthy food and rest, and I needed to clear my schedule so that I could follow my dreams and write a book. Now, cutting down my TV viewing and my social media time was a good start. Notice I didn't say cutting out, just cutting down. Some relaxation is important. But it wasn't enough. If I kept saying yes to party plan parties, all the church activities, dinner with everyone, social events, work opportunities, and so on, I would have neither the time nor the energy to write anything. I needed some way to divine what belonged in the important category. I made a mind map. You can tell how serious this is by the fact that I made a mind map. I hate them. Lists are my thing. But I tried a few lists and they didn't quite work, so the mind map seemed the way to go this time. The segments of my mind map were family, church, work, health, and writing. In each one of those segments, I included the things I thought were important. My feeling was that if something didn't fit into one of those segments, then it was sand. Here's a new thing that I learned. In the family section, along with the cooking, washing, budgeting, and shopping, I also included emotional energy for my family's needs and Saturday adventures. I realised that I needed to put downtime in the ping pong ball section if I was to live the life I wanted. The other thing for me was defining the writing as a section on its own, as its own collection of ping pong balls. Writing is my dream, and it is my thing. It took me a long time to figure that out. Just so as you know, I'm in my mid-40s now, and I think I may have finally found the thing I love to do. I've tried many different hobbies. Art, craft, exercise, maths, science, music, dance, none of them filled the gap in my life the way that writing has done. I'm hopeful now that I have found the passion of my life. I read this amazing book called The Art of Slow Writing by Louise DeSalvo that described the lives and loves of many different authors throughout history. As I read it, I found that I related to just about every category. I remember telling my friend that I wanted to write a book, but doesn't everyone? She said, no, not everyone wants to write a book, and that maybe I should give it a try. So I did give it a try, and I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed the process, and I enjoy the outcome. However, in my mind, writing can be less important than any other important thing that anyone else would want me to do. You see, I don't know that I'm ever going to be a successful author. In order to become a writer, I need time to practice. Time to write books that will never be seen by another human being. Time to fail. Time to learn the craft. And I have had difficulty allowing myself that time because my maybe never seen or used by another human being stuff just didn't seem as important as anyone else's already out there and doing good stuff. I needed to change that, to change my mindset. I found some books really helpful to me in letting me know that it was okay to follow my dream. One is The Best Yes by Lisa Turkhurst. She does a wonderful job of explaining that there is a job that only you can do and that you should spend your time doing it. That it is right to say no to some opportunities if it stops you from doing the one thing that you should be doing. John Acuff, in his book Quitter, says that if you figure out what your dream is, then you will spend less time doing the things you like and more doing the things you love. I really like the idea of filling my life with things I love, things that I am meant to do. The idea of me giving to the world a gift that only I can give, living a life with meaning and purpose. When you have that shining orb in front of you, that reason for living, then it is easier to throw off those things that hinder and so easily entangle, and to run with perseverance the race set before you. To run my own race, to reach my own goal, to give the thing I give the best, to live my best life. For all of that, I needed to learn to say no. Otherwise, I'm like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, insecure, unsure, exhausted, and going nowhere. The good book says each of you should carry your own load. God has given you a load to carry. He has made us to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's worth asking Him what He made you to do, thinking it through, finding out what your special, shiny ping pong ball is. Dreams and goals. I have learned that dreams and goals are different. A goal is a short-term, achievable stepping stone towards your dream. Your dream, according to Christine Catherine Rush, is a big, unachievable, shining city on a hill that you are moving towards. A dream gives you purpose. Jenny Baxter agrees. She says in her blog Treasuring Mothers that your dream needs to be big enough that you can't achieve it on your own. You need a dream that is big enough that you are dependent on God to come through for you to make it happen. Your dream is your hope and purpose, the thing God put you on the earth to accomplish. Have you even taken the time to dream? What is it that you would like to achieve with your life? What are you working towards? Or are you just trudging through each day, doing the next thing that comes onto your list without even looking to the future? Having a dream really clarifies your thinking. You can work backwards from it. Here's how it's working for me right now. Dream: to make a living from my writing so that I can work from home writing novels and nonfiction. To get to that dream, I need 1, novels and nonfiction books written by me, and 2, an audience. To get the books written, I need to dedicate time to write them, time to read other books, time to research, and time to think. To get the audience, I need to build a website, write a blog, share on social media, and work with other authors. From that point, I can come up with some goals. My major goals for 2017 were as follows. Goal 1, self-publish my first novel by the end of 2017. Goal 2, write the Saying No blog posts. Goal 3, clear up my schedule so that I can write more in 2018. Now, as I write this, I'm at the end of 2017. I have not quite published my first novel, but it is written and ready for copy editing, so I've come a long way towards the goal. I have written all of the blog posts and am now collating them into a book so that I can publish a second book. And I have cut my work hours in half so that I have more time to write. Your dream is the thing that will allow you to say no and help you figure out when to say yes. Cherish your dream, value it, invest in it, give it your all, and make sure that you don't let all the sand eat away the time that belongs to the ping pong ball of your dream. So step 1 towards saying no, figure out what you're saying yes to, know your dream, write your vision statement. Have you found out what your shiny ping pong ball is? Do you agree that knowing what to say yes to is the first step to saying no? So as we do a check-in now at the beginning of 2020, I have to say, I have 5 books published, a 6th one in the editing stage, so on the way, and a 7th one first draft written. I have this podcast to build my audience, and I work from home full time. So happy and getting closer to my dream. Next week we have an interview with Suraj. He is from the Subbies Ministry at university. He works with uni students from the subcontinent. That's why it's called Subbies. His conversion story is awesome as a child in Nepal. And yeah, listen in to find out more. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music for this podcast. And remind you that if this is helpful to you, please tell someone else about it. That would be fantastic. And I will chat to you next week.